You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Once again, I want to introduce you to our next segment, which is purposed for you and only you. And that's why we are inviting you to send your questions. You have any question that's baffling you, any question that's bothering you, please send it to us and we'll make a point of finding you. My producer always finds you a pastor who's willing, ready, and able to answer these questions. And my job is to make sure I ask the question from all possible angles. Our Ask a Pastor for this week is Pastor Godswill Gumbo. Joining us on the line. And what is a good afternoon to you? Welcome. And thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thanks so much. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much, Mfundis. I need you to just adjust your handset there, Mfundis. I suspect there is some muffling there that is bothering us, like we're unable to make out what you're saying. Our question for today, Mfundis, is should people fast regularly or is it only for special occasions?
Oh, that's a beautiful question, but I would say fasting should be a regular thing. How much life and sin is beclouding us? We need to stay more connected through prayer and fasting each day, regular. Not, you know, it shouldn't be a program, should I say, but it should be a lifestyle.
Okay, that's an interesting one. I thought you'd say the other way because we only know Jesus to have fasted once, Mfundis. Why do we want it to be a lifestyle? If it was never a lifestyle for the disciples, if it was never a lifestyle for them when they became apostles, it was never a lifestyle for Jesus himself. We don't have any example in the scripture of anyone who had a lifestyle of fasting. Why then are you saying it should be a lifestyle?
All right. Thank you. It should be a lifestyle because of the days that we are in. We are in the worst days of Earth's time, where we need to be more connected to God than ever. In fact, we are in these challenging times, so maintaining a close relationship with God is crucial. So regular fasting will definitely enhance our spiritual sensitivity and helping us to hear God's word more clearly. Now, I understand, I'm sure the listener is saying, probably we think that fasting has to do with food only, but fasting has to do also with the living other things and replacing those things with the prayer. So, yes, the disciples, when they were with Jesus, there was no need as much to fast because the master was with them. So the master would know what they were, knew what they wanted, and they would tell him what they want. But now, we're in the last days where the master is in heaven. And in fact, when we talk about fasting, we also need to understand the times that we are in. What are we fasting from and why are we fasting should be the reason. We are fasting understanding the times that we're in. We are in the times when our Master Jesus Christ is in the most holy place and he is pleading for our sins. So it is our time for soul searching. It is our time to have a closer relationship with God than ever. And for the second thing, you know, the more you fast, the more you find more time with God than other things. So that's the reason why we should fast on a regular basis.
I hear you, Mfundis, but the Bible teaches us that while we may think that these things are worse than they were before, the Bible is saying we're wrong. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. So to suggest that we are experiencing things that have never happened before is not what the Bible teaches us. So again, I ask, if the Bible is correct in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, to say there's nothing new, there's nothing special about these days, they are all grinding to an end anyway, where do we get it from in Scripture that we must, because of these good reasons you have cited right now, we must therefore fast? Does the Bible teach us that anywhere?
Yes, it does. The principle behind the issue of fasting is the one that drives us to fast, if I may say. In fact, when we read from the Bible, we have a lot of moments where Jesus is praying and is fasting. In fact, let's start with the journey of Jesus into ministry. He begins it by fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Well, why is he doing that? It is because he understands that, yes, there's nothing new under the sun, but I don't have the strength to conquer this. In fact, we don't have the power ourselves to conquer what is happening. And so we are not fasting to appease God, but we are fasting to replace what we do and look for the face of God. So the issue is not an empty stomach, but the issue is an empty heart that is looking for the presence of God in it.
I was hoping you'd point us to these examples in the Bible that teach us to fast as a matter of lifestyle, Mfundis. Kindly take us to those texts.
As I answer you, how do I say this? As I answer you, I want you to understand that we don't have a direct verse that says fasting should be a principle, but we have verses that teach us that praying should be our lifestyle. In fact, we have to seek God by fasting. We have to seek God by looking for his face and replacing whatever we do and leaving put aside. Yes, we do have some verses about fasting from the book of Matthew. The chapter is 6 and the verses 16 to 18, where Jesus is talking about fasting, and he tells the disciples and tells the people that when you fast, don't look stone by his hypocrites.
No, Mfundis, we are not interested in verses that talk about fasting. We're interested, yes, in verses that teach us that the fasting, the correct and proper, yes, kind of fasting, must be done as a matter of lifestyle. It doesn't even have to be a direct verse that says you must fast as a lifestyle. Even if we could have a patriarch or a matriarch or an apostle or a prophet who fasted as a matter of lifestyle, who would then be our example to follow? Do we have such an example? My contention was our greatest example, who is Yeshua ben Joseph, was never a lifestyle faster. No, he didn't fast as a matter of lifestyle. Peter, the leader of the apostles after Yeshua left, he never fasted as a matter of lifestyle. Paul, the most prominent and prolific author of the New Testament, did not fast as a matter of lifestyle. Prophets before these in the New Covenant, those who were in the Old Covenant, they did not fast as a matter of lifestyle. My question is, do we have, maybe I have missed it, do we have an example in the Bible of a prophet, a patriarch, a preacher, a pastor, a bishop, and anyone who is an example of us fasting as a matter of lifestyle?
Yes, we do. I'll give you one of the hidden people we don't really talk about in the Bible, and that is Anna the prophetess. Anna the prophetess, we read of her. She fasted and prayed day and night in the temple. That was her lifestyle. She fasted and prayed day and night in the sanctuary, waiting for the coming of the Messiah and preparing her heart for what was to come.
Yes, just take us to that verse that says that, Mfundis.
Okay, let's open from the book of Mark. Sorry, the book of Luke. The book of Luke, the chapter is 2. Yeah.
I'm
let's
waiting.
Let's open the book of Luke, chapter 2. Let me read it to you.
Yes, I'm for this.
Luke 2.
Which verse are you reading?
Look, from verses 36 to 39, let's read and get something from there. The Bible
okay.
says, there was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage.
Sorry, Mfundisi. Sorry, forgive me, Mfundisi. You said it's Luke chapter 2.
Yes, from the verses 36.
Oh, 36. Okay. Luke chapter
Going
2,
down,
verse 36.
Yes.
Not a problem. Go ahead, Mfundisi.
Yeah. Verse 37, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So we have this lady, Prophetess Anna. She is living her life in commitment of fasting and praying, looking forward to the coming of the Messiah for the first time. And after fasting and praying, she would wake up, stand up, go into the crowd and tell them of though and tell people of the Savior who was to come and be their Messiah. So it is an example also for us today that fasting and praying puts us closer to God so that we may stand and go and also and tell the world
yeah.
of what is to come.
So I've always understood that narrative, Fundisi, to be very separating. And I want to read it and then share with you how I've always understood it, and then you can correct me. So from verse 36, it says, and there was a prophetess, Anna, and the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple. Now, my understanding there was she only stayed and fasted in the temple when she became a widow, not when she was a virgin, not even when she was married to her husband. My understanding of this was she was devoted to the worship and service in the temple when she was a widow. Am I mistaken, Mfundisi? That's how I read that scripture.
Okay. So I'm sure the listener is thinking probably that you can only fast and pray because of circumstances that you are in, which is not the idea. But instead, I love the way the Bible says she never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying, coming up to them at every moment. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child. So why is she fasting and praying? She is seeking and looking for the face of God the rest of the life.
I'm okay
yes,
with that,
for this.
I'm not disputing that part.
Yes.
My question is on when she did this. I imagine if she lived in the temple while married, that marriage would end. I mean, if you have a wife that never comes home, that stays in the temple and fasts, that means there is no marital relationship there. That's what I'm trying to bring to the pastor's attention, that it appears as though from the verse, she only devoted her life after she became widowed, not while she was an adolescent, while she was a virgin, not when she became wedded to her husband. That's what I'm asking the pastor to just clarify for me. Am I mistaken to read it in that fashion? Because it appears as though here it's telling us of the time she was a virgin, the time she was married, and the time she spent at the temple serving and fasting, which I'm okay with. So as the pastor saying, she was fasting while she was married? She was devoted to the temple work even when she was a virgin and married? Is that what the pastor is saying?
Okay, based on the Bible, I believe so much that there are some circumstances that led her to the Bible seems to bring a circumstance that led her to never depart from the temple. But that shouldn't be the principle driving us. We should have a principle. The principle I believe behind is she was seeking the face of God through praying and fasting. The issue of never departing from the temple has to do probably with her circumstances. That might not be my circumstances. That may not be anyone's circumstances. And maybe I will say this, that it is not the circumstances that should lead us to prayer. We have a lot of verses. Even Jesus fasted before ministry. Even Jesus prayed and went to the Garden of Gethsemane and all the other people, we read of them.
But it was not his lifestyle, Mfundisi. That's what I'm bringing to the pastor's attention, that Jesus did not have that as his lifestyle. He did that after he was baptized, and we don't have a record of him fasting after that. Even when he prayed at Gethsemane, he was not fasting. It was after he had taken the Lord's Supper. His stomach was full from meat, the lamb he had eaten there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, please listen to me carefully.
Yes, I'm finished.
As I try and answer this. The reason why it is advisable for Christians to live or to have fasting as their lifestyle, it is because it is necessary for number one, their spiritual connection. Noticing that, yes, nothing is new under the sun, but we understand that we are in the last days, and we cannot compare the last days of now and the last days. And we cannot compare the last days of the or the days of the past, because these days that we are in are leading to something bigger than what was in the past. And what is this something that is bigger? It is the second coming of Jesus Christ and the end of this world to a new world. So the first reason is for spiritual connection. Yes, Jesus might not have done it, but he left us principles that will lead us to know that this is our time to seek for the face of God. Then secondly, it is also for the preparation for Christ's return. Remember, as we anticipate the second coming of Christ, fasting will help us in our spiritual preparation. Remember, it allows us to focus more on prayer and reflection, which helps us align our hearts to the will of what or to the will of God. And we're taking this foundation from knowing the work of Christ at the moment in the sanctuary. He is in the sanctuary. What is he doing? He is begging for my sins and for your sins. And what happened in the past? It is in that day the Israelites would fast and repent and do what we call soul searching. And that is exactly what we are supposed to be doing.
Okay.
So yes, regular fasting, which becomes a lifestyle, is encouraged. Because we are trying, as you are fasting, the issue is not on hunger, but the issue is on your yearning for Christ. So yes, yearning for Christ through fasting should be, because there are people who can fast for other reasons. You can fast for health reasons, you can fast for other reasons. But when talking about this fasting, but what about the fasting that has spiritual benefits than, or rather than physical, physical benefits?
Okay. Okay, I take that, Mfundisi. I'll take that. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Let's do this again tomorrow. We have more questions for the week. Looking forward to your answers and your perspective. Pastor Godswill Gumbo, thank you very much for your time. Have a wonderful day further.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.